Welcome to the Smash Show, Bill.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. You mentioned that you're working on Spectrum X Gamma, the Russian satellite. What are you doing on that?
Well, Spectrum X Gamma is a giant high-energy astrophysics observatory. It has, for instance, the largest X-ray telescope ever to be flown will fly on a Spectrum X Gamma. That is a Soviet-Danish instrument called SODART with an 8-meter focal length. There's a number of other pointed instruments on Spectrum X Gamma, and these are telescopes with, as I mentioned, relatively small fields of view. So where do you point these instruments, and which sources out of the varying sources across this X-ray sky do you choose to study? That is an awfully good reason to put an X-ray all-sky monitor on such a mission. We've done that. We have an instrument called MOXIE. That's an acronym for Monitoring X-ray Instrument. It is a simple design. It does not use focusing optics. It is therefore about 10 times less sensitive than we anticipate a lobster eye instrument would be. But it's real. The hardware is going together. We are testing it now. It has been built. It's in test and calibration at this point. And we expect it to be launched at the end of 96.
And Bill, what sort of optical system will it use?
It's the simplest one you can imagine. A lot of you folks who have a hands-on technical interest might have, at some point, maybe as a kid when you did a science fair project, built a pinhole camera. You have a piece of film, you have a piece of aluminum foil with a little hole in it, and that is sufficient to produce images. That's exactly what we do with MOXIE. We have an X-ray detector. There are six of them. They're each about 30 centimeters square. And in front of that detector is a pinhole of about a couple square centimeters. And we point these at the X-ray sky, and X-ray sources form a pinhole map on the surface of the detector. The detector does tell us the position of each X-ray that hits it, and thereby we make maps of the X-ray sky and watch its time variability.
That would be very similar to the French detector that was flown on the Russian Granat satellite a couple of years ago.
That is a more sophisticated step up from a pinhole. This instrument we're talking about there is called SIGMA. It was a hard X-ray, really soft gamma-ray telescope, with a fairly limited field of view. Off the top of my head, I think it was 10 degrees or thereabouts. And it used not a single pinhole, but multiple pinholes applied in a pattern with special mathematical properties called a coded aperture. And with those, with a position-sensitive detector, and knowing the shape of the array of pinholes that one looks through, one can make full maps of the sources one is viewing. That is an alternative that we considered when we designed the MOXIE experiment. But with MOXIE, we chose the simplest possible route of the pinhole camera because of the advantages that accrue from simplicity.
One of the problems that pinhole cameras suffer, of course, is that the smaller the hole, the sharper the image you get, but the less light you get through it. And of course, if you make it big enough to get some light through, you get a blurry image. How does that affect you on the X-ray?
We have an image that's blurred to about a 2 degree by 8 degree spot on the sky. And if we made our pinhole any smaller, we would lose light and our sensitivity would diminish. But there's a funny thing that happens here. If we made our pinhole bigger, we wouldn't get any more sensitive. We could make a bigger pinhole. We could make an array of pinholes like a coded aperture in a particular pattern. We could dispense with the aperture entirely and put an egg crate in front of our detector and map out the sky by moving the detector back and forth across it. Turns out, when you analyze these in detail, it doesn't matter which approach you take. The faintest source you're going to see is the same in every case, and the only thing that matters is how big a detector you have. We have 6/10 of a square meter of detector. That's about all you can fly, even in a 100-kilogram instrument, and we're therefore doing as well as you can with the simplest approach.
Well, what sort of things do you expect to find with this new satellite called Spectrum?
Well, on the MOXIE side, we'll be doing a lot of support of the main instruments when, say, black holes, like the suspected one in Cygnus X1 flare, are going into a new state. We'll know that right away, and the big instruments in Spectrum X Gamma can be brought into play to study it. Those instruments will also be used for detailed spectroscopic study of bright and medium bright sources. Where Spectrum X Gamma excels is large area. It's not the sharpest X-ray telescope in the world. In fact, it's sort of backed down from the best that's been done so far. I've mentioned 10 or 20 arc seconds as the state of the art. Spectrum X Gamma will have an imaging quality of 2 arc minutes. So the gigantic X-ray telescope SODART has sacrificed resolution for the sake of a very large area, and that means that it can do detailed studies on medium bright. Now, we aren't talking about the brightest source in the sky. We aren't talking about the 100th brightest source in the sky. We may not even be talking about the 1,000th brightest source in the sky, but relatively bright sources nonetheless. You can do spectroscopy. You can do polarimetry. That'll be done for the first time with the SODART telescopes, the first time with a very sensitive polarimeter in space.
Polarimetry being?
Simple measurement of the polarization of X-ray light. There are three things, or about five things you can measure with an incoming photon. You can measure where it is in a couple dimensions, that is, which direction it's coming from. You can measure when it arrives. You can measure its frequency. And from those four parameters, we have most of astronomy. You take pictures, you determine how things vary with time, you take their spectra. Now there's a fifth quantity, which is the polarization, the direction of vibration of a X-ray photon. Polarization is not an uncommon phenomenon.
Polaroid sunglasses.
A polarized sky, a good blue sky is strongly polarized. The reflection coming off a pavement or the hood of a car is polarized, and that's why you use polarized sunglasses.
And most photographers would be used to using polarized Polaroid filters sometimes.
Yes. So the question is, are the X-rays coming from X-ray sources polarized? If they are, there is a good chance of learning something about the physics very close to the black holes or neutron stars that are driving these bright stars. So that's what the big telescope on Spectrum X Gamma will do. Where MOXIE comes into play is twofold. First, it's the alarm bell to tell if interesting things happening in the sky, to let the big instruments turn their gaze to them. And whatever the rest of the satellite does, it's going to be developing an independent record of the time variability of the brightest few hundred sources in the sky. And that we can analyze at our leisure to see neutron stars rotate, to see double star X-ray sources revolve around each other, to see precessions and other long-term changes in X-ray stars, to see them flare into outburst.
Thanks for joining us tonight on The Space Show.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.